for joining us on another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, and our team here at HAT is ready to run down the top news and information from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. On today's show,
I'm Andy Eubank. It has been a back-and-forth week in the markets. Friday, no exception, although we remained close to even. We'll get insights from analyst Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. That's coming up soon.
I'm Greg Allen. It's National Farm Safety and Health Week, and that includes your mental health, too. I'll have that story coming up.
C.J. Miller will be here, too, with a crop update from southern Indiana. He was also at the State House this week as leaders from Taiwan announced a big purchase of U.S. corn and soybeans. I was in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan this week, visiting with our friends at Nutrien Ag Solutions. Hear my report from over a half a mile below the surface from one of their potash mines. But let's kick things off today with the weather. That harvest window is opening wide across Indiana. It's time for HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's harvest weather forecast. It's presented by Beacon Credit Union.
Hi, this is Jared Modlin, ag lender with Beacon Credit Union. I want to wish all farmers a safe and successful harvest season. Thank you for all your hard work and dedication to the ag community.
So, just how wide of a window are we talking about here? Martin says it could be open for the next 2.5 weeks.
As of right now, we're looking at some slightly cooler air trying to come in behind the frontal boundary that moved through a couple of days ago. This cool air lasts about a day, and then we start to see some very summer-like weather coming in for this weekend and all the way through the first half of next week. We're talking high evaporation rates, low relative humidities, and very, very fast drying. Even if you were on the high end of some of the rain ranges here the past few days, you should be able to get right back at it here across the Hoosier State easily over the weekend and through this upcoming week.
Martin is monitoring a little bit of cloud cover over south and southeastern parts of Indiana Tuesday night and Wednesday.
If this comes together, it will be due to the remains of a tropical system that comes in through the east coast and tries to back across the Appalachians. Once again, I don't think this is a big story, but I need to watch it. After that, we're back to sunny, warm, and dry weather. High pressure setting up right on top of the Great Lakes the second half of next week, and that keeps us clear and dry on into the week of the 6th. Temperatures will slowly move down a little bit that week, but still no rain in sight through at least the 9th and 10th.
10% of Indiana's corn and 12% of the state's soybeans are now harvested, according to USDA's Monday report. Both crops' harvest progress is better than the 5-year average pace. I get the feeling that number will progress quite nicely over the next couple of weeks. Martin's forecast is available in written form at HoosierAgToday.com, presented by Beacon Credit Union. He'll also have the full Indiana Farm forecast coming up in just a few minutes here on Hoosier Ag This Week. President Trump says he's using tariff money to help out struggling farmers. Is it relief or just a temporary patch in a growing trade war? With more, here's Greg Allen.
In a bold move aimed at easing economic pressure on America's farmers, President Donald Trump announced that his administration will use tariff revenue to fund direct financial support for the agricultural sector.
We're going to take some of that tariff money that we made, we're going to give it to our farmers.
The president's statement comes amid rising concerns over the impact of ongoing trade tensions, particularly with China, and the uncertainty they've brought to the global agricultural market. U.S. farmers have been caught in the middle of the dispute, facing falling crop prices, disrupted exports, and the tightening profit margins. Under this plan, the White House says farmers will receive cash payments to help cushion the blow from retaliatory tariffs and lower demand abroad.
What we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking some money from all of the tariff money that we've taken, and we're going to distribute it to our farmers until the tariffs kick into their benefit, which ultimately the farmers are going to be making a fortune.
Critics of the plan argue that using tariff revenue to fund this is a short-sighted fix that doesn't address the root of the economic distress, the very tariffs that sparked much of the trade war in the first place. But the administration insists it's standing by farmers, portraying the move as a patriotic sacrifice in a larger battle to secure fairer trade deals. More details on the size and scope of the program are expected in the coming days. Read more about this story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.
Much more farm news coming up on Hoosier Ag This Week, but right now it's time to talk markets Let's welcome in Andy Eubank.
Hey, thanks, Eric. It was mixed markets much of the week. Friday, no exception. We'll have those final numbers from Friday trade coming up. In the middle of the Friday session, I checked in with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading for some insights on the week's market dynamics. We end the week with quiet mixed markets and Chicago wheat giving back much of what was gained on Thursday. Brian, another back and forth week as we appear stuck in a trading range.
Thanks for having me, Andy. It has been back and forth. I think we're looking at, in the case of corn and beans, anticipation of more harvest activity before a solid move is seen. We'll probably be approaching 20% harvested nationwide on Monday's crop progress report, but that's still not a very large sample. I think we've really got to get into that first, second week in October to start to get a handle on whether or not these yields are going to meet, exceed, or fall short of USDA estimates there from earlier in September. So in the absence of any concrete yield results, the market looks for other moving market moving factors. We've seen some good export sales for corn. Continue to see that in contrast, so continue to see no export sales of beans to China, which isn't surprising given the trade situation. So I think back and forth, we're going to continue that. We do have a grain stocks report coming out on Tuesday, September 30th, which the last few years has actually been correlated with some increased price movement, both to the upside and to the downside. So I'd encourage your listeners to have your risk management positions in place prior to Tuesday, because it could be a market mover with that grain stocks report at noon Eastern time. But other than that, Andy, I think we're just waiting for more results from harvest and waiting to see what any trade results may or may not happen with China here.
Supply and demand. We're anxious to find out what that supply is going to be once harvest wraps up. We just have to be patient and wait there. What about the demand side as you've seen it this week? As far as the export inspections report, the export sales report, and daily flash sales.
We did have some market moving news this past week, Andy, with regards to Argentina. Argentina temporarily lifted their export sales tax on grains and oil seeds and promptly saw a tremendous volume of farmer movement and sales, primarily to China, of soybeans. And in fact, it was only over 2 days that they reached their ceiling. Their ceiling that they put on this change was $7 billion, I believe. And they reached that in just 2 days. And therefore, they put the export sales tax back on. But basically, what that did was give more of a bridge, if you will, to China, with soybeans coming from Argentina, in addition to the beans they're getting from Brazil, that keeps them out of the market for the U.S. beans. And again, raises questions about what type of program we're going to have to China for beans here as we enter the fall and if we'll have a program to China. So that was the big market mover on the demand side, Argentina trade news.
Thoughts from Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. His number, 309-664-2314. We did finish lower in corn and wheat, so the grain's down. December corn, 3.75 lower, 422. March, 438.75, 3.5 off. Up 1.5 on November beans, 10.13.75. 1.75 higher Jan contract. 10.33. December wheat down 7.25 at 5.19.75. The meats were mixed. October live cattle 25 cents lower at 231.80, and October lean hogs 101.50, up $1.40. And that's a recap on the markets. Much more still to come on the weekend show. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag this week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
But it really gave us a lot of validation. You know, we won the Food is Health track. And before this, we didn't really have any wins outside of the Notre Dame sphere, and certainly none this big. And so this win really allowed us access to mentorship, retail connections. Obviously, winning a competition this big also boosts our credibility a lot when we're talking to investors, retailers, and partners. We got a lot of connections to, you know, warehousing partners, other small manufacturers, co-packing solutions, and even the local government. Connections that we would not have been able to make without Agrinovis.
Get more episodes online at agrinovisindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're throwing the window wide open on harvest here over the next couple of weeks. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with that weekend weather outlook for Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by Beacon Credit Union as we examine harvest very, very closely. After pushing pause on harvest a couple of days this past week, we now have a harvest weather forecast that I'll be darned if I'm going to be able to make it 3 minutes long, because it is super easy. Sunny, warm, dry for the next 2 weeks. That's really what the forecast comes down to. Now we're going to try and dig into some nuances here a little bit. But for this weekend, we are looking at the return of summer-like temperatures, and that'll hold through the first part of this upcoming week. Upper 70s, lower 80s, maybe even a few mid and upper 80s, depending on where you're at here as we move through the next few days. We are going to be seeing very high evaporation rates, relatively low humidity values as we dry this atmospheric profile out fairly strongly. Now, as we move forward, we are going to be seeing the warm air hold through most of the rest of this upcoming week. Wednesday through Friday, we may not be quite as warm, but we're definitely not pulling back at all. One hiccup that I will point you to: late this week, Friday into Saturday, we might see a little bit more cloud cover in southern and southeastern parts of Indiana. Why? Well, I think the remains, or at least an offshoot of one of these two tropical systems in the Atlantic, will probably try and slide in through the Carolinas and try and back across the Appalachian Mountains. This is going to be more of a story for eastern Kentucky, southern Ohio than Indiana, but I'm going to leave the door open to a few offshoot clouds trying to get in to southeastern Indiana. Does it impact our harvest ability? Probably not, but I'm just going to say, hey, it's there. We're going to watch this thing through the week coming up. Also, we are seeing these hurricanes kind of back up our weather pattern a little bit. So by the end of this upcoming week, could see a nice little band of scattered showers draping across Wisconsin, back into Iowa, northern Illinois, Missouri, looking like it can come our way. But it runs out of gas. It can't advance eastward at all. And so we're going to be looking west and seeing that, but probably not getting anything. That keeps us dry into the start of the following week, the week of the 6th. That's that first full week of October. We do not see any significant precipitation through probably Wednesday night, early Thursday. I guess I won't rule out a few hit and miss of scattered showers in Indiana early Friday or Thursday morning, the 9th. I'm more seeing that in Ohio, but all right, fine. Let's see what happens back here. That's ahead of a little bit of a trough boundary that is going to be changing our air mass nicely as we get toward the end of the forecast window. Strong Canadian high pressure will push into the Great Lakes as we move into Friday the 10th, Saturday the 11th. I do expect us to see a temperature change here, cooling off quite dramatically. But again, not seeing a lot of moisture. There's none in the atmosphere to ring out. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. $6.4 billion. That's billion with a B. That's how much Taiwan plans to spend on U.S. corn and soybeans over the next 4 years. C.J. Miller reports.
This is a great win, and we're excited. It's going to be huge for Indiana farmers at a very critical time.
And that's Indiana's Lieutenant Governor, Micah Beckwith, who also serves as Indiana's Secretary of Agriculture. On Thursday, Taiwan signed two letters of intent with Indiana Governor Mike Braun, as well as the Indiana Corn Marketing Council and the Indiana Soybean Alliance. Through 2029, Taiwan will buy more than $2.1 billion of U.S. corn. Meanwhile, the Taiwan Vegetable Oil Manufacturers Association will buy as much as $4.2 billion of U.S. soybeans.
I mean, Indiana grows great soybeans. I mean, we're one of the top producing states in the United States.
And that's Denise Scarborough, who farms in LaPorte County and is chair of the Indiana Soybean Alliance. She tells Hoosier Ag Today the trade partnership with Taiwan speaks volumes to the quality of the corn and soybeans produced right here in Indiana.
And, you know, they always come back with saying that we grow a consistent quality product here in Indiana and here in the United States. And that's something we should be very proud of as farmers.
Tim Galk, who farms in Decatur County and is president of the Indiana Corn Marketing Council, says this agreement will benefit corn and soybean producers all across Indiana.
To put it in perspective, I started farming in 1972, and Indiana produced 300 million bushel of corn. That was our production, and that's what this deal is about. So it is a big deal for farmers, especially in Indiana.
Check out the full story. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
All right, CJ, thanks. Potash, it enhances drought tolerance, disease resistance, and plant standability for corn, which is why farmers apply it. But have you ever really thought about where it comes from? I was in Canada earlier this week, and here's my report from 1,000 meters below ground.
Without fertilizer, we wouldn't be able to feed 8 billion people on this earth, and potash has an important role.
That's Les Fralick, general manager of Nutrien's Allen Mine, located about 28 miles or 45 kilometers outside of Saskatoon, where Nutrien is headquartered. Global production of potash is around 70 million tons, with 20 million of that produced in the Saskatchewan province.
Potash, it's a soft rock, so our ore consists of two-thirds salt, one-third potash with a little bit of clay. And it's not, it's quite roomy down there.
Down there is a little over half a mile under the surface. Construction began on the Allen Mine in 1964, with the first potash struck in 1968. Since then,
Our mine has grown significantly over the years. The footprint is roughly 20 kilometers by 14 kilometers, so it covers a large area, and that's over five and a half decades of mining.
In fact, the farthest mine face, where they use a borer to extract the potash, is about an hour's drive from the mine shaft. Safety is a core value at the mine. 12-hour shifts underground could prove taxing, but Fralick says their employee turnover rate is quite low, somewhere around 4%.
Our trade rate right now is roughly about $60 an hour, so our employees are paid well, and they tend to stay long-term. It's interesting work. Potash mining is pretty unique, so there's a variety of work every day, and it's quite interesting and technical, and I think a lot of people get a lot out of that, more than just the pay side.
You can find some interesting pictures from 1,000 meters below the ground at HoosierAgToday.com. Speaking of safety, this week is National Farm Safety and Health Week, and as harvest ramps up across the country, farmers are working long hours to bring that crop in. But behind the scenes, there's a growing concern that's not as visible as the fields. It's farmers' mental health. Greg Allen has the story.
According to HHS educator Angela Sorg, farming is more than a job. It's a way of life. But it's also a high-stress profession, especially during harvest.
We all have mental health concerns. So every day, every one of us gets stressed out. Some of it's good stress. Some of it's not so great stress.
According to recent studies, farmers are significantly more likely to experience depression and anxiety compared to the general population. Long days, unpredictable weather, equipment breakdowns, and market uncertainty all pile up. And for many farmers, the weight can become overwhelming.
It is all day, every day, 24/7, 365. And what commodity prices look like this year are not going to be the same as what prices look like next year. So you really can't ever get into almost a sense of calm.
But Sorg has some practical ways to boost your mental health.
Maybe go for an extra walk, or hang out with our dogs, or go see a pretty sunset, read a funny book. Every day we take care of our mental health in hopes that a potential larger issue won't happen.
As harvest continues, let's remember, the health of our farmers is just as important as the health of their crops. Listen to a more in-depth conversation on this topic on the Your Health podcast at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
With harvest underway, corn producers need to be mindful of vomitoxin. It could cause problems well after harvest. CJ Miller has more.
We found it. I mean, it's out here. A lot of areas that I thought were dry and we probably wouldn't see it, but it's very low levels, right? I wouldn't expect any dockages issues from what we found, but it's there.
That's Dr. Dan Quinn, corn specialist with Purdue Extension. On the latest episode of the Purdue Crop Chat podcast, he shares that vomitoxin is not easy to spot.
The challenge with vomitoxins is it's really hard to see it unless you get out and pull husk back all across the field. Can't just drive through past a field or even walk a field in a lot of areas and say I have ear rots or not, like you could on a foliar disease.
He says that vomitoxin can also have a negative impact on your corn long after harvest while it's in storage.
You know, the thing with vomitoxins is not only when you harvest, but getting it dried, getting it below 14% moisture in the bin, and then storing it in a cool, dry place. So not only can ear rots kind of persist and get worse on the ear as it's out in the field, if you don't store it properly and you don't dry it correctly, it also can get worse in the bin.
Learn more about the challenges facing Indiana's corn and soybean producers this harvest season on the latest episode of the Purdue Crop Chat podcast. You can watch it on Hoosier Ag Today's Facebook page, the Hoosier Ag Today YouTube channel, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. On the way, a crop update from Southern Indiana. Greg Allen takes you there next. Thanks for listening to Hoosier Ag This Week.
Hey, farmers, need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
It's the last segment of Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Greg Allen, and they must have wanted to save the best for last, I guess.
No. Don't change the channel. We're closing out this week strong. Fact check this out. Did you know that according to the USDA, 10% of Indiana's corn and 12% of the state's soybeans are now harvested? C.J. Miller checks in with a southwestern Indiana farmer to see how harvest progress is coming along.
I would say that number is correct for the corn, but not for the beans. I would say we're most probably about 20% on the soybeans.
And that's Mark Seib, who farms near Poseyville in Posey County. He tells Hoosier Ag Today that many of the corn crops in his area just aren't dry enough quite yet.
We had to do quite a bit of some replant. Some of that was done in the fields as the corn was standing, just went back in and replanted. And a friend of mine, Sunday, was shelling corn. He said the monitor on the moisture tester on the combine was jumping anywhere from 23% to 30%. That was creating havoc for his dryer. So he was pulling out and going to try to find some more dry beans somewhere or close to dry beans to harvest.
Mark says they've received about 2 inches of rain over the past several days. And even though it's caused a temporary pause to harvest, he says the moisture is still very much needed.
Beans are pretty much done. They've turned, but it should help the corn a little bit more. But you're absolutely right. We have been dry way too long. We were into a no burn situation for a lot of the counties around here in the southwest side of Indiana. It was getting pretty bad. We were also seeing some damage to trees that were starting to show up from the lack of moisture. So things were getting pretty tight down here for us. We'd still like to be able to get our harvest in, and we don't really want to mud it in. So we're hoping that Mother Nature will be a little bit kinder with us and then give us the opportunity to keep going.
Check out my full conversation with Posey County farmer Mark Seib. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
The EPA has approved Syngenta's DuraStack corn trait stack, a triple BT protein package designed to battle corn rootworm. Approved for commercial use in 2027, DuraStack will be available in hybrids sold under Syngenta's Golden Harvest brand. Rex Gray with Golden Harvest tells more about it.
It's really the industry's first 3BT protein for corn rootworm control. So it's going to provide them next level corn rootworm control. Ultimately, that's going to give you increased standability, less root feeding, and ultimately more bushels. And so at the end of the day, right, it's the bushels that pay the bills. And so seeing some really nice positives, in fact, a 9.7 bushel advantage with DuraStack compared to those Isoline products. And that's something we're really excited about here in the future.
DuraStack is being positioned alongside a version called DuraStack Viptera, which adds protection against above ground pests like ear, stalk, and leaf feeders, adding further value for growers battling multiple insects
insect threats.
I know Viptera is very important to growers in your area as well. So we'll see that in 2026 in some local FET trials for growers, but full launch in 2027.
More protection, stronger roots, more yield, and a tool in the fight against insect resistance. For many farmers, especially in regions where rootworm has been a persistent issue, DuraStack could change the game. For more information, log on to goldenharvestseeds.com. This past week was National Farm Safety and Health Week, shining a light on the on-farm hazards farmers interact with daily. But it's not just about farmers. It's about the whole ag industry. Eric Pfeiffer tells us about it.
Every week's Farm Safety Week for us.
That's Rob Clayton, Senior Vice President of North American Retail for Nutrien Ag Solutions.
We're on farm. We've got 4,000 agronomists across North America that are on farm every day. So safety does not take a break.
Nutrien hosted this farm broadcaster for a trip to Saskatchewan, or as the locals call it, Saskatchewan, in their Allen Potash Mine last week. Safety was certainly emphasized there, but Clayton says safety is the number one priority for Nutrien employees globally.
We've got our experience with people getting hurt and worse on farm and certainly within our business. And we would just say nothing's more important than the safety of our people. Our people are Nutrien. It's not the building. It's not the assets. It's not the signs on the buildings. We've had some different names before. You know, what really adds value to our customers is the Nutrien people. So, you know, if you've got a very strong asset like we do, why wouldn't you want to protect that asset?
Alongside safety, Clayton says Nutrien isn't a conglomerate of a bunch of different industries. They have one purpose: to help farmers be more profitable and sustainable.
We're about agriculture and everyone in the entire supply chain. We're one of the only really integrated companies when you think about it from an end-to-end, like giving advice to the grower on the ground for 4,000 crop and consultants to the actual production of those NPK products like you saw yesterday. So, you know, that gives us a unique kind of family feel of like we're all doing the same things. There's lots of companies around that do a whole lot of different stuff, but you know, we've really just got one purpose at Nutrien, and that's what makes the difference.
Stay safe out there. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Well, that'll put a cap on the 2025 National Farm Safety Week, so I guess we can all go back to being reckless around farm equipment, huh? False. We have plenty more harvesting to do, so please be aware of our farmer friends and be safe this harvest season. I'm Greg Allen. Who's your Ag Today? See you Monday.